There are times in our service unto God as Christians that we have heard lessons and we've read Scripture and we've been maybe not overwhelmed, but it seems like everything we hear is you can't do this and you have to do that and you should be this way and you shouldn't do that. And sometimes maybe we begin to look at Christianity as something that's real difficult and hard, that is a great burden placed upon us. But we read from the Old Testament prophet Micah, in Micah chapter 6, that basically pleasing God boils down to just three things. Certainly, when we read from the book of Micah, we find that there is much rebuke placed upon the nation of Israel because of their inactivity in serving God and for their turning away to foreign gods and putting their trust in the things of this world. And we begin in verse 6 of Micah chapter 6, and we find, "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come to Him with burnt offerings? With yearling calves, does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul?" And we read there, and I don't know, when I read that, I begin to have these thoughts, or I recognize the thoughts of sometime that it's a big burden to serve God. There's a lot involved. There's a whole bunch we have to do. And then when I look at how much sin has been and is in my life and how I struggle against it, I think, how am I ever going to be able to do enough to please God and to satisfy Him? And that seems to be the language that's put forth by the prophet here. Right? How can I ever get things right with God? And then I read verse 8. "He's told you, old man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Three simple things that are required of us by God. To do justice, to love mercy, or love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, understand, this is written to the Israelites. It is given to them. And this is the group of people that at some time, several different times in their history, God had sent prophets telling them, "I'm tired of your sacrifices because you're not offering with the right attitude of heart." And I recognize we don't live under the same law that Micah and the Israelites were living under that time. But the New Testament scriptures illustrate this very same thing, that God, while yes, there are things that we must do, and as we look at this idea of the need to do justly, we recognize there is action involved, but God is much more concerned with our attitude and our doing right because it is right than with the actual things we do. Yes, there are requirements that are laid down for us according to the divine law that God has given us. But what He tells us is we need to act in accordance with that law, both toward God and toward our fellow man. This is the same idea that Jesus puts forth in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 when He rebukes some for simply calling out for the Lord and reminds them that they have to do the will of the Lord, to do justly. We need to have an attitude of wanting to serve the Lord. Not the ones who just call out on the Lord that will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And maybe that's the reason that these three things start off with doing justice, doing those things that are right and proper and pleasing in the sight of God. So, yes, there are things that we have to do in order to satisfy God. And we need to keep that in mind. But it's simply doing those things that are just, those things that are right and righteous and pleasing in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul deals with this idea in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. You know, really, when we look at the things that God requires of us, most of us would consider those things to be common sense actions regarding to our fellow man. The way that we would want to be treated ourselves. We don't want people to lie to us. We don't want people to get all angry and yell and scream at us. And so we need to have that kind of attitude ourselves. When Micah tells us through the prophecy that he writes to Israel, and we find the instruction that Paul gives us here about doing justly, the things that God asks of us are not onerous. They're not difficult. They're not hard. It's just doing that which is right. Doing that which is right, that is helpful to others and is pleasing in the sight of God. We need to understand that not doing justice, failure to do justly, is the very thing that caused Israel to enter into their captivity. Not only did they not live in accordance with God's will and honor Him and worship Him and praise Him as He had commanded, but they weren't doing justice and rightly toward their fellow man either. In Zechariah chapter 7, beginning in verse 8, the word of Zechariah says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgment, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great anger came from the Lord of hosts. As I called, they would not hear. So they called, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. It was Israel's refusal to do justly, to honor God in the worship that He'd asked them to honor Him with, and to do justly and render true judgments and show kindness and mercy to their fellow Israelites, that caused them to be cast out of the land of Canaan and scattered among the nations. We need to learn that the basics of serving God begins with doing justly, to do justice toward our fellow man and toward God, but also to love kindness, or to love mercy, the old King James uses. And what he's talking about here is a desire to do kindness and show care toward others. And these are some of the things that we just read about Paul talking about there in the book of Ephesians. Even the one who was a thief was instructed not only to stop stealing so he could provide for himself, but so that he could have to provide for others that might be in need. We read in Zechariah chapter 7 that the instruction that God gave to Israel is that they were to take care of those who were oppressed, the fatherless and the sojourner. We need to not only treat others fairly, but we need to show mercy to those who are less fortunate, those who are being mistreated. James chapter 1 and verse 7, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit widows and orphans in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." I think sometimes we read that verse and we concentrate on the visit widows and orphans, and we forget it's in their affliction. It doesn't mean that we should ignore widows and orphans if they're not being afflicted, but certainly those that are being mistreated need our kindness. Those who are suffering need our kindness showed forth upon them. We need to make sure that we are expressing ourselves in a kind and merciful manner. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36, love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. This do mercy, love kindness extends to us as Christians beyond just our fellow brethren. It extends to all mankind. Remember, it was the Samaritan that was the one that showed mercy to the Jew in the story of the Good Samaritan. We need to exercise mercy and kindness toward all mankind, not just our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, Scripture indicates that we need to help them first and foremost because they are family, the family of God. But we have an obligation to all mankind to do justice, to love kindness, because God Himself has exercised mercy and He delights in mercy. In Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And certainly we read throughout the Old Testament Scripture, especially in the history of the nation of Israel, about how they turned against God time and time again. And time again, God took them back when they came seeking for forgiveness and for the shelter and comfort and safety that God only could provide. Even this casting out of Israel, there were some who came back because of the mercy of God and their willingness to turn to Him. They were forgiven of their wrongs. And then think of the great mercy that He expressed and showed forth upon us when He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary, to do the thing that we could not do, to provide us with the blood of the innocent, so that we might be free from our sins, might be able to have a relationship with Him. We need to have a desire to show kindness and mercy to others. And this means that we need to sometimes maybe step outside of our little circle of comfort, because there may be some who are outside of that are in need of our mercy and kindness. God showed mercy upon us even when we did not deserve it. We need to show mercy. And keep in mind, this mercy that's talked about, the examples that we see here, are not just taking care of someone when they are sick or ill or when they are afflicted, but it also includes those that are in monetary need. He says, lend without expecting anything in return. We need to have an attitude of kindness and mercy toward those that are our neighbors, that are our friends, that are our enemies even. But still, it's not that difficult when we consider the things that God expects of us. Still, it's once again, it's one of those things that most of us were brought up believing that's the normal. That's just the right thing to do to help those that are in need. So once again, the things that God expects of us are not onerous. They're not difficult. They're not hard. They are demanding sometimes. And they require a different attitude than that which is expressed in the world around us. Over and over again, we see expressed in the world around us the attitude of each man for himself. You put yourself in this situation, you get yourself out of it. We need to have a different heart than that. We need to have the kind of heart that expresses the kind of mercy that God expressed for us, the giving of His Son. Of course, I guess if there's anything that's difficult of the three that Micah gives us here, it is this one here. To walk humbly with your God. Now, there's two things to this walk. We walk humbly, and we walk with God. This involves recognizing that we are not able to do things on our own. that we need to submit to the will of another, to the will of God. And that it must be something that we are willing to give our life over to. As we've talked about this idea of walking, it's the same idea we talked about a few lessons ago about abiding in the Word. It's a way of life. Our way of life needs to be a way that expresses our submission and dependence upon God. And of course, it's only going to happen when we recognize our place in the scheme that God has put in place since the beginning of time. Starting with the sacrifice for our sins was paid for us by God Himself. We need to recognize that it is the humble of heart. It is the one who is humble of spirit that is pleasing in the sight of God. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, we read, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." We need to recognize that we need to understand that we are at the bottom of the ladder of authority. We're the ones who are without hope on our own, and that we are entirely dependent upon God to give us life, to give us purpose in life, to instruct us through His Word in how we ought to conduct ourselves. The only way that we're going to be able to enjoy fellowship with God is if we're willing to walk humbly with Him. James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 8, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." John, in his first epistle, in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, talks about our need to walk in the light. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, here's that idea of walking with God. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another in the blood of His Son. Jesus cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. While we might read that and initially notice it talks about walking with God, it also covers the idea of humility, of recognizing the error and wickedness of our ways. And I know we use that term wickedness, and most of us thought, well, I'm not wicked. I'm a pretty good guy. I don't hurt people, and I don't pull the wings off of flies, and I don't beat up babies and all these things. I'm not wicked. Well, have you ever done anything against the will of God? Have you ever done anything that you found out later God didn't want you to do? Or not done something that God asked you to do? Guess what? You're wicked. Just like me. We need to acknowledge our wrongness. We need to acknowledge our difficulty with living perfectly according to the will and the law of God. That's a part of this walking humbly. But as we acknowledge that, we need to recognize our need to come as close to God as we possibly can. Our need, because we are totally unable to cleanse ourselves, of coming to God so that He might cleanse us. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Walk in the light. Walk in accordance with the laws and the rules and the regulations that God has laid down. But understand that you, of your own accord, are without hope and are lost. That you are wicked and sinful in the sight of God until you come to Him to find cleansing. This means that we're going to have to spend time daily listening to God, studying His Word so that we know what He asks of us and what He requires, and so that we can be aware of the times when we may fail to follow in accordance with His will. James tells us that we need to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James chapter 1 and verse 21. And I know we read these passages, we talk about these passages. Do we understand that James is not writing to those that are outside the body of Christ? James is writing to his brethren. Micah was writing to the nation of Israel, the people of God. Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesian brethren, was writing to brethren, not to those outside the will of God, outside the family of God, but writing to those who had given their lives to the Lord, reminding them that they had obligation to read and study the Word so they would know what they need to do, so they could walk humbly with God. Receive with meekness, recognizing that we're not capable of doing these things on our own. That we, even though we're not a rich man, have just as much trouble getting a camel through the eye of a needle as a rich man would on our own. We need to acknowledge our weakness and walk humbly with our God, looking into His Word. As Peter says, as newborn infants, longing for the spiritual milk of the Word. Spiritual milk that will allow us to grow up in salvation. Or as he said in his second epistle, that we strive and work diligently to grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we work with diligence to increase the attributes that are to be present within our lives that make us more like Christ. And time again, in both of the epistles that Peter writes, the instruction is to turn to the Word of God, to listen to the message that's been presented from God. As Peter said, he was going to take great pains to ensure that even when he was gone, they would still be able to look to the Word of God. Why? So we can grow. But it also is going to require us to talk to God. We need to come to God, praying for strength, for forgiveness, and praising Him for the things that He has done for us. The book of Hebrews certainly is a book that talks about the superiority of Christianity and of Christ and the way of God, and it speaks of the superiority of Christ as our high priest. And in chapter 4, verse 14, beginning, the Hebrew writer says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The Hebrew writer urges his readers, and through the preservation of the Scripture for us today, urges us even to come to God in prayer, to talk to God regularly, to lay upon Him the burdens and the struggles and the difficulties that we have. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 through 7 said, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." No matter what it is that we may be dealing with, if we have a relationship with God, if we're walking humbly with God, we need to lay those troubles at His feet. We need to let Him handle them. We need to recognize our own weakness and inability to solve the problems of this life. Turn to God, looking into His Word to find what He has given and provided for us to guide us in how we ought to conduct ourselves in every aspect of life, and asking Him for His watch and care, for His assistance and His help with all the struggles and troubles that we have in this life, along with acknowledging the great blessings that He's given to us. Most importantly, the blessing of His Son, who paid the price for our sins. We need to do these things if we're going to walk humbly with God. We need to know what God expects of us. We need to talk to Him about our problems and our struggles. And we need to walk with Him. And this gets back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, the doing justice. We need to live in accordance with His will. We need to humbly submit to what God asks us to do. We recognize and understand that two will not walk together unless they are in agreement. So we cannot walk with God unless we are willing to walk in accordance to His will. Because God's not going to change for us. We must change for Him. Paul told the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 5 that they need to be careful how they walk. He said, walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in love. This goes back to the loving kindness. Walk in love toward our fellow brethren. Walk in love toward our enemies. Walk in love toward those that are without. And most certainly walk in love toward God. Why? Because God loved us. Loved us enough to give His Son so that we might be free from sin. We need to walk in love. We need to walk in the light. Walk as children of light, Paul says in chapter 5 and verse 8 of Ephesians. One time you were darkness, now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It's not enough just to love God. We need to walk in the light of the Word that He's delivered to us, to guide us, to instruct us. Because we don't know how to walk on our own. Jeremiah said, we can't direct our own steps. We certainly can't find our own way to salvation. Some of us have trouble finding our way to do anything in this life. We need to walk in accordance with the light, the Word that God has given us. Follow it as closely as we possibly can, serving the Lord. And as Paul said in verse 15 of that same chapter, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. And I hope you can think back just a year or so to the things we studied in the book of Proverbs that talked about what it is that is true wisdom. When Paul talks about walking as wise men, he's not talking about wise in this world. He's talking about the wisdom that comes from God, which comes from submitting ourselves to reading and studying His Word to know what it is that He would have us to do. You know, no matter what we do in this life, we need to understand that we need to do it in a manner that glorifies the message that God has delivered to us. We need to look to God for our guidance and our understanding. We need to recognize walking humbly requires us to recognize that we can't do it on our own. We are hopeless and helpless without God. And so we look to Him for all our instruction. And we walk along with Him, drawing ourselves as closely to Him as we possibly can throughout all our days here upon this earth. Learning to walk humbly with God is going to balance these doing justice and loving kindness and mercy toward others, because the instructions that God gives us includes not only His example of how He did those things while Christ walked here upon the earth, but the instructions as to how we ought to conduct ourselves in the same way. God requires these things. Certainly, He doesn't require these things instead of the sacrifices and offerings in the case of the Israelites. God doesn't want us to do justly and love kindness without obeying His will. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes in Matthew 23 and verse 23. Said they tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and thankfulness or faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Notice how closely align those three things that Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for laying aside and what Micah tells us God expects of us, what God requires of us? Justice, do justice. Mercy, love kindness. And faithfulness, submit humbly and walk in accordance with the will of God. These things we must do as we go about exercising ourselves in accordance with the will and the laws that God has laid down. Certainly, we are under a different covenant tonight than what the people in the day of Micah were under. Those people were destroyed because they did not submit to God. But the same sort of requirements are laid out upon us. The Lord requires us to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly in accordance with His will. Until we acknowledge that we are unable to do things on our own and are willing to submit ourselves to God, we're not going to walk in this manner. We're not going to conduct ourselves like this, because we're going to be more likely to look out for ourselves rather than looking out for our fellow man. We have obligation to submit ourselves wholly to the will of the Lord. We need to do justly, obeying the word that God has given to guide us. We need to love kindness and mercy, not only by accepting the mercy of God that He offered to us in Jesus, as most all of us here this evening have done, but in showing mercy and kindness toward others, just like He showed toward us. And to admit our weakness, our inability to guide ourselves, submit ourselves wholly to the will of God, conducting ourselves in accordance with the things that God has described and instructed us to follow. The will of God in serving Him is not difficult. They're not new commandments. They're not extraordinary things. In fact, when we compare what God expects of us today with some of the things that were expected of the Israelites long ago, certainly we recognize that things seem so much easier for us in regards to the requirements that are laid down. Do justly, show kindness, and walk humbly with your God. That's what's required, my God, for us to enter into Him. We're given instruction in His Word as to exactly what justice and righteousness is. We will submit ourselves to it, living in pure truth throughout this life. We can enter into heaven in Christ. But yes, we have some chance for those that are outside of the world. Salvation that we have in Christ. Part of that loving kindness, not just helping those that are physically in need, but it's recognizing the spirit of those that are around us and helping them to understand them to give them life. Look into your own heart. Are you doing these things? Are you following the things that God expects of you? If not, it's time to correct that. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. Assist you in that. Opportunity is yours. Come and understand the same.